Let us pray. Lord God, ruler of the universe and ruler of our hearts, let your word spoken here transform our lives. Let the power of your word spoken here open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, let your word heard here bring shalom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I first arrived in BC, I had a rental unit. They found me a rental unit. But I wanted to purchase something. I had sold a house in Ontario, and I wanted to purchase something. Of course, the only thing you can purchase on the Lower Mainland is what? A condo. Thank you. Yeah, right. But I had heard horror stories of people who had brought condos only to discover they were leaking. And the leaking was not caused primarily from windows or from mildew and mold leaking into the apartments. And this had been caused by a couple of things. A stone stucco designed for the climate of Southern California, where according to a popular song from the 60s, it never rains in Southern California. So when the stucco was applied, it sealed the building and didn't allow the building to dry out after the rainy season. In other words, the affected buildings couldn't breathe. An engineer that helped design and build the building, fortunately, he lived in the condo in the strata, and so he was able to talk to us about it. And he, the huge financial costs associated with building envelope repair, so it was literally an envelope, had an enormous impact on many, many people. Some people lost it all. Does anybody know anybody who lost it all? You do? Wow, and some of them had to walk away. So the building material used in the leaky condo stands in sharp contrast to the building metaphor Peter uses in the first of two letters written to a Christian community in Corinth. And they were struggling, this community was struggling with its sense of identity in a largely alien culture. So he's addressing believers, strangers in the world, he said, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In his inspired vision, the church and its people are spiritual houses. A spiritual house built from breathing, living stones as a dwelling place for the household or family with God as the master. The church is also God's temple, the place of God's presence, where the people of God worship. Now you notice we say worship service. You see, part of our service is worshiping together. That's how it's used. We are also the priesthood that serves in God's house. And today's passage begins with comparing believers to newborn babies. And like all newborn babies, what is an essential staple? Milk, right? Milk. Thank you, Magnolia. She would know all about that. So the need for milk is a natural instinct for a baby, and it signals a desire for growth. So, you know, when you have this thing about babies who have a failure to thrive, right? They don't want to eat, but it signals the growth. In the spiritual life, healthy, organic growth into maturity is a yearning that won't go away. And we are open, like spiritual newborn babies, to be transformed, changed from the inside out. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And then Paul writes, our lives are a letter written in our hearts that everyone can read. This letter is not written with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is not carved on tablets of stone, but on the human heart. And this beautiful line from our Ash Wednesday service, and God is making his appeal through us. You're born in the Spirit. And growing in the Spirit, we bear its fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. So you've got the book ends. Love at one and self-control at the end. Receiving, being receptive and open to God's love, God works to clear a channel so that his love poured into our hearts through the Spirit flows and pours out to the lives of everyone we meet. Even if we find it difficult to love someone, we can be confident that God will love that person through us. You and I may not be where we need to be, but we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, as I learn, I know that I know that I know that I know that God loves me, and so I will be able to let God's love flow through me. When God's love is flowing in and through us, then a couple of things happen. Firstly, we become lovable. What a novel concept. We become lovable, and secondly, we want to share that love with others. God is our first love, and therefore the source of all human love. So spiritual maturity is developing spiritual muscles. Not quadriceps, spiritual muscles. Trust replaces fear. By the way, the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real, which might help you. Trust replaces fear. Vision replaces the status quo. Giving of our abundance replaces thoughts of lack. And repentance replaces pride and defensiveness. And this is how Peter talks about the community of saints, as coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple, and we are the living stones that God is building into his temple. And each one of us as living stones is unique and distinctive. And Paul echoes a similar sentiment in Ephesians. Together we are God's house built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And we are carefully joined together in Christ, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Becoming, growing up, maturing, transforming, and changing is a constant theme throughout Scripture. It never goes away. And it demands that we, as living, loving, blood-bought, and Spirit-filled stones, trust that God is able to make all grace abound in me so that all things, having all that I need, will abound in every good work. Scripture never lets us off the hook. It points us always to Christ, our rock, our foundation, and the cornerstone of the church. And he died to give us a new life, a new attitude, a new way of thinking. So, although we have a new nature, a new thinking, we don't automatically think good thoughts or express all the right attitudes. Does anybody here do that all the time? That would be no. So, Christ gives us a choice to keep listening, keep reading the word, keep praying and developing spiritual disciplines to further be those living stones. And I think that all of us can look back over the last year and notice changes in us for the better, in our thoughts, in our attitudes and our actions. God is not asking for perfection. Isn't that great? He's not asking for perfection. Our spouses ask for that. I should take that back. That's not true. He only asks that we let him change us so that we live to glorify him in all that we say or do. And we do this by changing our thinking. And this is, again, Paul goes back to this in Ephesians. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And our words are powerful indications of our thoughts, and our thoughts create our lives. Richard? Thinking negative thoughts about ourselves, about others, about our jobs, our family, our church, affects our ability to live as children of light and walk in love. Because I am convinced that every human being wants to experience peace and joy. And I believe that everyone here today wants to become more like Christ. So excited. So on this first Sunday in Lent, I am hoping that we will choose to be part of an experiment for the next 6 weeks. And we could do this collectively. And I believe it can change us as individuals and as a congregation. So here's the story. Probably 6 years ago, CBC featured a segment on a minister in the States who was teaching about how our thought life can and does affect our lives. And as part of the series, he gave out purple bracelets to his parishioners to serve as a reminder of how often they were complaining, criticizing, murmuring, or gossiping. Anybody ever do that? Well, not this morning. Well, no, this morning, not yet. So, they wore the purple bracelets for 21 days. And every time they spoke negatively or complained about things or people, they had to take the bracelet off and put it on the other wrist. Okay? Now, I just want to read you this here. Switch your bracelet with every spoken complaint. Some people try to make this more difficult than it should be by switching their bracelet with every negative thought. Over time, your negative thoughts will lessen. But move the bracelet only when you complain, criticize, gossip, or say something sarcastic aloud. And I'll be doing that quite often. Always know what day you're on. People who are seriously about becoming complaint-free always say, I'm on day one, or I'm on day 12. Don't be a bracelet cop. This is not about what other people are doing or saying. Do we have any bracelet cops here? If you want to point out another person's complaint and tell that person to switch his or her bracelet, switch your bracelet first. Okay. Oh, don't be clever. I've known people who try and circumvent the system by wearing a bracelet on both wrists so they don't have to switch. Or when they catch themselves complaining, they quickly complain again as not to have to move the bracelet. I've even heard people who, when they catch themselves complaining, say they will start again tomorrow and declare the rest of the day a free day. These little ploys, funny though may be, diminish rather than increase our likelihood of succeeding. So what do you think?
Awesome.
You think it's awesome? Actually, this came up, what, Janet, a year ago, I guess, eh? A year ago, and I ordered the bracelets a year ago, and then Janet suggested we do it for Lent. And what's so ironical is they're purple, which is the Sunday of Lent. Now, it's going to take time. You're going to be amazed how many times you have to take it off, okay? But see if we can do it. May I have one, Richard, please? Oh, and did everybody get a post-it note as well?
Okay. I need a bracelet.
You need a bracelet?
Oh.
Why? She never complains. Okay. After going through the exercise, their lives were different. They discovered negative thinking had become a habit. By the way, there are over 10 million of these bracelets circulating worldwide. Remember that as living stones, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's only people. Wow. Once we had no identity as a people, now we are God's people. Once we received no mercy, now we have received God's mercy. God is always calling the church to rebuild lives, to give people in despair hope, and to offer others a fresh start when it seems as if they have nothing to be renewed in their minds. And this is the essence of Christian community: living together, serving together, worshiping together, and loving together, desiring and praying without ceasing to be a total blessing to everyone. We are a blessing to everyone we meet, and we are a blessing to this community. Each word, each thought, each act of service is to bring glory to God alone. The time is now, and now is the time to grow up in the Spirit and long only for the pure spiritual milk so that by it we may grow into salvation. We don't have a moment to waste, for we never know when the bridegroom, our Lord, will return. For the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Let us pray. Oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you've set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. By the way, any